Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, calling in today from home, didn't make it into the studio, and just trying to stay here with my family in Raleigh, North Carolina, and keeping an eye on everything, getting a ton of rain, every once in a while, some pretty good gusts of wind, but never never super serious. So thank God for that here in Raleigh, where I'm at. But around the state, boy, it's bad across the coastal areas of North Carolina. I'm looking at the radar right now. And I'm looking at the radar of the rain swaths and the bands of rain from Florence all the way up to northern North Carolina, almost to Norfolk, and then down almost to Charleston, South Carolina. It is a massive storm. And the headlines, as you're paying attention to it, are not very pretty. This is on the Weather Channel and several other places. Myrtle Beach could get cut off. They're thinking a bunch of the roads there are going to get cut off, and then they can't get emergency vehicles there. Florence turns deadly. Another headline, people trapped in 10 feet of water. If you've been looking at any of the video, any of the pictures from today, it is not pretty at all. And it's just something we need to pray about. Here's a story. First desk reported from Hurricane Florence after Wilmington home collapses. This is on Fox News. Hurricane Florence claimed its first victims Friday afternoon when two people died after a tree fell on their home. It was a mom and an infant. The father sustained injuries but was transported to the hospital. Category one storm is making its way south along the Carolina coast. It came up shore earlier today, a little bit after 7 a.m. I was up kind of disturbed through the night, sleeping downstairs here at our house in Raleigh, North Carolina, and just paying attention and didn't want to leave home and get to the studio, which is in a different part of town. So that's why I'm calling in and why it shouldn't should sound a little abnormal today. In the second segment, hoping to hear from North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, a buddy of mine and a good friend of this show. We'll get a report from him as to what he's learning in terms of how bad it is over there on the coast and then inland, because the flooding is going to be going on with all the rain, 20, 30 inches in some places they're predicting. And that's going to be an event that, occurs through the weekend. So pretty scary. Governor Roy Cooper in North Carolina said Florence is wreaking havoc, and he's concerned that whole communities could be wiped away. That was a direct quote. Hurricane Florence is powerful, slow, and relentless, he said. It's an uninvited brute who doesn't want to leave. More than 600,000 people have already lost power in North Carolina, according to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety. Duke Energy has said in a tweet they anticipate 1 to 3 million outages across the Carolinas, north and south, adding that restoration in the hardest-hit communities could take weeks. So this is a scary, scary storm. Very serious. I just praise the Lord it's not as bad as they originally were saying, but the things going on and the pictures and the flooding and the devastation on the coast here in North Carolina and then also down into South Carolina, very, very scary, very, very disconcerting. And so today, I just want to make sure we spend some time here before we hit the first break, and we'll all pray together, because I'm talking to you from North Carolina, but you may be in other parts of North Carolina. You may be out in Iowa. You may be out. You may be in Indianapolis or Kansas City on Wilkins Radio, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Asheville, and even western North Carolina as this storm, as Florence hooks around, heading a little bit south and then hooks up to the north. The mountains in North Carolina are looking at some serious rainfall, which, of course, would be flooding, which, of course, could be mudslides and things like that. So this is going to be dangerous on any number of levels. And so before we hit the first break, let's pray together. And then as we get towards the end of the show in the last segment, we'll pray together too. So I'm going to talk about that. We'll hear from North Carolina State Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, hopefully in the next section. He's on with MSNBC now. I'm sure he's totally swamped with his schedule today. And then several things I want to talk about. Of course, Kavanaugh, the Brett Kavanaugh Hail Mary by Feinstein. She actually had the information that she gave to the FBI, which was a letter and some allegations about something that Kavanaugh is alleged to have been involved in all the way back in high school. Hey, it was only 35 years ago, so why not talk about it now? But she's had that information. So if she thought that was truly damaging, I think she would have released that before now. The FBI just kind of turns it over to the White House. White House wanting to nominate, that's their deal. FBI isn't going to do anything investigation-wise, so a last-ditch effort. But I want to talk about that. When I shared that story yesterday, I really don't know of another story on my Facebook page, the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, that's gotten as many, over 1,000 comments, and I've never seen that kind of activity. So people are very upset about the fact that they even tried that, they being the Democrats. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And get you up to speed on that. And then something that nobody's talking about, except a few people, a few conservative talkers, but not the big ones. Sean Hannity, nothing. Rush Limbaugh, nothing. Even Ben Shapiro, I haven't seen anything on this, as our Congress is passing yet another, instead of the omnibus bill like they passed back in the spring, which Trump said he'd never sign another one, now they're doing a minibus bill. Which sailed through the Senate. Only two Republicans voted against it, Jeff Flake in Arizona and Rand Paul in Kentucky. And this thing's a beast, and our federal budget deficit is skyrocketing this year. I guarantee you Trump's going to sign this and go along with this whole debacle. The fact that none of the big conservative talkers are addressing this is disgusting and disappointing. And this is a major moral issue, and nobody wants to talk about it. I think too many of these folks, definitely Hannity and Rush too, I think too often are intellectually dishonest in many ways when it comes to Donald Trump. They rarely say anything negative about him. And, of course, this is Congress, but he's going to sign it. And back in the spring, he said that he would never sign another bill with this type of spending, and our deficit's just skyrocketing. And you and I will be long gone by the time all these bills come home, by the time, as Jeremiah Wright likes to say, the chickens come home to roost. We're going to be gone, and it's going to be dumped on our kids and our children's children, and we're going to be out of here. And that's just ethically a nightmare, morally a nightmare, and just incredibly irresponsible. So it's very, very upsetting that the biggest conservative talkers are not hammering away. It's really a sad thing. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But before we hit the first break, let's pray here real quick. We'll pray together at the end of the show, too, for everything going on around Hurricane Florence. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your providence is a part of our lives, that you are superintending over everything, Lord. But we do cry out for the people caught in the middle of this storm, the people that are getting the brunt of it the most, Lord, along the coast there in North Carolina and South Carolina, and all the flooding that's moving inward, Lord. We pray for safety and protection in our first responders, Lord. We just pray for miracles and for support. We pray for them to be strong and courageous and for you to be glorified somehow in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be right back. About that, having some phone issues. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show live here in North Carolina. I'm staying at home, which is why I'm on the phone, and just trying to keep things flowing here and having a couple of difficulties, but thanks for your patience. And again, things are difficult here in North Carolina, and so we've got a chance to, we're waiting to hear from the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Forrest. We're just having some issues on a crazy day like today. Obviously, you can imagine that. So we're going to wait and see. I'm texting him right now. He just was on with MSNBC. That's probably him. And so we'll get him on here in just a second and go from there. But that'll be Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest giving us a little bit of an update here in North Carolina with respect to Hurricane Florence. And I'm like I said, I'm here in Raleigh. We've had a lot of rain today. It's very dark here and getting some wind gusts, but nothing as bad as we were thinking a couple days ago. But praise the Lord for that. But let's go to North Carolina State Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest and get a report from the front lines. And Dan, I'm sure, has been buried in this stuff for the whole time. Dan, man, thanks for calling in. Give us an update. What are you learning about what's going on across our state?
Well, as you probably heard by now, Steve, we've have four deaths already from this storm. That's a lot for as early as this is. four confirmed deaths, including a mother and a baby, where a tree fell on their house. And in Wilmington, very sad situation. And, you know, my guess is we're going to see more of this as time goes on. This storm is just not relenting. We're you know, have some 600,000+ people out of power right now. I think all the places you're not being able to see on the news media are the places where it's really going to be the worst. Places around North Topsail Beach and Jacksonville and Morehead City, Atlantic Beach, Emerald Isle, all those kind of places are, I think, going to be devastated when we can, when the sun actually rises and they get cameras out there where people can actually see what happened. You know, I just got off the phone with President Trump. He just called me just a few minutes ago and was asking how things were going there and if I thought things were actually a little better than expected. And I said, well, Mr. President, I think, again, as I just told you, Steve, when the sun rises, I think we may find that things may be a little worse than expected. So time will tell. We've got to ride this one out for a while, as you know, and we'll see what happens when the rain stops and we can actually get people in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it seems like right now, even at the federal and state level, there's not a whole lot that can be done, I assume, in the midst of all of this. So help us understand, Dan, what can be done now while things are happening, and then what has to wait till later?
Well, I can tell you that there are just tens of thousands of people ready to swing into action. There's tens of thousands of just power workers alone. Yeah, I was out just a little earlier going to one of our emergency shelters over at Southeast Raleigh High School. And as I was going in, there were probably a good 50 or so power trucks that were leaving their station, their post over in Garner, and heading you know, into harm's way, as those guys do. So they were going somewhere to get busy. So the power crews are already working, you know, with 600,000 out, probably, you know, going to be a million out of power. So that's what Duke is estimating anyway. They're already swinging into action. The emergency shelters, as I mentioned, are swinging into action. Those are well-oiled machines. I've been very impressed with our shelters and the folks running them. The ones here in Wake County are great. The Wake County Health and Human Services folks are doing a phenomenal job, along with the EMTs and the police force, and just providing great shelter for people. So that's already going on. And then everybody's storming up and waiting. You know, that you can't swing into action to go do a lot of the rescue stuff till afterwards, though. We've already seen, you know, on the ground or on the water, swift water rescues. Even folks, the Cajun Navy folks are out there rescuing people, too. We've had well over 100 rescues just in New Bern alone, so I'm not sure about everywhere else. But things are already going on, and believe it or not, you know, the EMT folks, the first responder types of people swing into action regardless of what's going on out there with the weather.
Yeah, it's really amazing to watch that all unfold. I read something yesterday that there were about 1,000 members of the Cajun Navy, the Redneck Navy, coming to help and be a part of that. In your last two runs for Lieutenant Governor, Dan, you've traveled all over the state. You've interacted with the people. That's been a real blessing. So for you as an elected official, for you as a North Carolinian, and for you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what are your predictions? Forget the weather here. What do you think the people in North Carolina, mostly hit by this, are going to do? How are they going to react? And what do you expect them to do in the days to come?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, we've met, you know, thousands and thousands of people across the state. And one of the weird things when you're a lieutenant governor, I'm assuming governor would feel the same way, you feel like this is your family. You know, I know so many people along the coast. I know thousands of people along the coast, believe it or not. And you really feel for them. You know, there are people that are, you know, probably not just losing their homes right now. Some are probably losing their livelihoods at the minute, you know, at this moment. So is their businesses are going to be out of business for a long period of time? Their homes are going to, they're going to be rebuilding on multiple fronts. And so, you know, this is the time, as you know, especially in the Christian community, Steve, where the Christian community, whether it's the Baptist Men or Samaritan's Purse or all of the above types of folks, swing into action and really do their best work. But I have to say, really across the board, you know, I'm at the shelter. When I was at the shelter at Southeast Raleigh today, the Chevrolet dealership was bringing in caseloads of water bottles, and people were dropping off diapers and things like that, and food, and neighbors around the shelter just bringing stuff, bags of stuff from Walmart, and Chick-fil-A providing breakfast and lunch. So already you're seeing kind of the neighborly, brotherly love types of actions that the Lord would have us reach out and do for people. And so, this brings out the worst in nature, and it brings out the best in human nature, I think. So we'll see what happens as things transpire here, but we're going to need a lot of help.
Yeah, we're definitely going to need a lot of help. I was praying with the folks earlier in the first segment, and we're going to do that again towards the end of the show. And if any favorite resources in terms of groups that people could donate to, Dan, that you know are doing good work on the ground, are you able to make suggestions like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Samaritan's Purse, I always support Samaritan's Purse quite regularly, but I'll as well hopefully be embedding with them and going down and helping myself, volunteering to clean stuff up and put tarps on roofs and all the things that have to be done right at the first. And so spvolunteer.org, spvolunteer.org. You can find places to either give money, donate to the cause, or actually sign up to come in and help. Baptist Men are the same way. You know, if you're part of a Baptist church or you're associated, there's one nearby, you can go and be part of the Baptist Men. They swing in and do the same thing. So absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, Lieutenant Governor Dan. God bless you, and we hope things go well for you. I know you're going to be busy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much, Steve. Bye now.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, that wish they had a getaway car right now. Things are pretty bad in North Carolina. I just saw this post. This is Steve Noble, of course. Just saw this post from a friend of mine, actually, who's with Truth Radio Network here in North Carolina, and they have stations across the state. Mike Carbone, and he was saying Robeson County, which is over towards the coast, warns the Lumber River may breach the levee soon. Meteorologists are saying the flooding as a result of that and in that area will be of quote-unquote biblical proportions and more severe than Hurricane Matthew was 2 years ago. Columbus County EMS radio system is down. They cannot even respond to calls or coordinate. And Mike urging, as we all need to, please pray. This is a once in 500 years event. And Truth Radio has 3 employees and their families down there. And of course, there's thousands and thousands of other people. And it's just a massive problem and very scary and very concerning. So let's make sure we continue to pray. And we'll do that again as we get towards the end of the show. But it sounds a little different today. I'm not in the studio. I'm actually in my sunroom at our house, and we've been paying attention all day. Had a lot of rain. Hasn't been terrible here in Raleigh, but the bands keep coming through, and it's not supposed to stop anytime soon. I think they're still saying 4, 6, 8 inches of rain here, which can be a problem depending on where you live. I know of power outages in the area, and we're not even anywhere near the worst part of what's going on with Hurricane Florence. So please be in prayer if you're in North Carolina. Maybe you're listening here in the Triangle area or down in the Charlotte area or over in the Triad or even out in the mountains in Asheville. Our Wilkins Radio affiliate out there in the western mountains of North Carolina, the rains, this thing's going to head a little south. It's hooking around. I mean, you could walk. Literally, you could walk faster than Hurricane Florence is moving. It's moving at about 3 miles per hour. Last time I saw that, and very, very scary, and so it's coming out there. There's a lot of rain and a lot of nightmare things going on there. But I want to turn the corner, and somebody that I've been following on Facebook for a while, I listen to her Facebook Live. I listen to her show from time to time. But Shannon Joy is on up in North State, up in upstate New York, the Shannon Joy Show on WYSL, upstate New York. And she's been relentless on issues that every conservative should be relentless about. But unfortunately, too many of them aren't. And whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, even Ben Shapiro on this one, when the Congress is passing yet another, we had the omnibus bill in the spring. Now we've got a mini omnibus bill, $478 billion, and 92 votes yes, 5 no, and 3 not voting in the Senate. And the only 2 Republicans that voted against it were Jeff Flake and Rand Paul. The nightmare continues. The deficit continues to skyrocket, all under Republican control. And Shannon's just been great on this and been relentless and bringing facts, which is what, today we talk about feelings are the new facts. No, facts are still facts. But Shannon, I know you're super busy. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me today. It's a really important day, and it's a shame that really no one in conservative media is covering this. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, and that's been on many fronts, especially when it comes to the current president. That's been true, unfortunately. Yeah. And I know you get plenty of flack because you're calling out Trump and the administration and the Republican leadership all the time. I get it in the same way on the Christian stations I'm on. But take us into what's going on with this omnibus, this
sure.
minibus bill, and what it's funding, what it isn't, any differences going on here, and then the debt continuing to soar. Because we're not going to hear
yeah.
it anywhere today from any of the big, big talkers that are way above our pay grade.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to keep this as simple as I can because this is incredibly complex, and they're doing it in this way on purpose. If you all remember the folks in your audience in the spring of this year, the massive omnibus spending bill that was passed. It funded all of the Obama-era priorities, Planned Parenthood, DACA, refugee resettlement. It funded Obamacare. It increased funding to all the major departments. It busted the lid off the debt and the deficit. We are now approaching Obama-era deficits. We're close to $900 billion in deficits. I mean, we're just careening out of control in terms of spending. And so that was uncomfortable for Republicans to pass. See, the dirty little secret is that the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. So you would think that we would have conservative priorities being funded. You would defund the liberal progressive priorities. What is actually happening, they are essentially codifying the entirety of the Obama administration into law through these funding bills. And this is now, I think, the fifth or sixth that they've passed. The omnibus bill was so distasteful to so many Americans, especially conservatives who exist in President Trump's base. He got in a lot of trouble for that. In fact, it was so bad that he promised his constituents he would never again sign an omnibus spending bill. So what they did, rather than have to go through the trouble again of betraying their base and their base knowing about it, they decided to break up the omnibus into what it looks like it's going to be nine separate minibus spending bills. But essentially, all your audience needs to know is that it's essentially the exact same bill as the omnibus, only difference is they are busting up the debt and deficit even further. So, I mean, billions of dollars worth of increases, annual increases in 2019 for all different entities, Health and Human Services getting $2.3 billion more, $541 million increase for the Department of Education. So they're funding Common Core. They're funding Obamacare. They're not building the wall. They're not funding the wall. There's nothing about securing the border or even enhancing ICE or any of the security measures that need to happen. We are currently in a crisis on the border. We have just approached, the president just released the numbers for August, and we are at this point mirroring and in close to beating the 2014 surge under President Obama when there was absolutely chaos at the border. So this is a disaster. What passed today, it's confusing. What they did, they funded the federal government through the end of the year with a continuing resolution today, and then they attached it to a longer-term spending bill that would cover 2019. Really, what your audience needs to know is it's a full-on betrayal of the conservative movement, especially the Freedom Caucus is nowhere to be found. Mark Meadow, Jim Jordan have simply abandoned the fight. There was some deal that was made at some point, and they are not bringing this to the attention of their constituents, and they're not fighting on this. In addition, the conservative media, I don't know when the dog whistle went out, but there has been virtually zero coverage of this on the big talkers, I call it, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Drudge, Breitbart, hardly anything on Fox News. We're not hearing anything from some of the conservative outlets. Ben Shapiro's outlet is not. I mean, so it really is an amazing situation. It's almost bizarro world where there is this massive elephant in the room, this massive betrayal. Even the life groups, Life Site, March for Life, National Right to Life, Susan B. Anthony List, Lila Rose, Live Action News, none of them are reporting on this. None of them are reporting that at this point we are now having a situation where the Republican-led House and Congress, the president is going to sign this. He already indicated that he would. have now funded a Planned Parenthood to the tune of $1.5 billion. And that's a travesty.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bizarro World, Shannon, and that's exactly what it is. And I share with people all the time your phrase, calling it the unibrow party, because the Republicans and the Democrats are just really one little country club party up there. I don't know how many conservatives are even left there. We can see the facts. We see what's happening. The big question is, and you alluded to it, is what's motivating this? What in the world's going on in the conservative movement? And again, I don't know how conservative the conservative movement is, but if you're going to start placing blame as we try to hold some people accountable, where do you put it?
Well, I think that I think you have a situation now where the Republican Party has moved very quickly to the left under this presidency and also under the current leadership. And so it's putting a lot of pressure on the remaining conservatives who are just battered and they're beaten. I mean, they have been absolutely decimated if they go up against anything that the president wants to initiate, then there's no recourse. I mean, essentially I think they've, at least as far as the conservatives go, they've given up. I don't know if they're deluding themselves, if they're telling themselves that they can fight another day, but they're not going to win the House. I mean, this is going to the heart of the base. The Rhino Republicans will not suffer for this betrayal, but the conservatives will. This is something that Ted Cruz will probably have to deal with at this point in his Senate election, and that's close as it is. So I can't fathom what they're doing. I can't. It doesn't make any sense to me. But they need to be called out. I mean, I would say that, and I don't want to make a broad sweeping statement because everyone is different and their motivations are different. But I will say the Republicans are progressive. I mean, the party is a progressive party. And what they've done over the past 15, 20 years is really kind of just a scam. It's pretending to be conservative, pretending to be pro-life. They know that we'll never hold them accountable. We're so afraid of Democrats.
I'm up against the break, Shannon. I'm up against the break. But we'll get you back on as soon as possible. We'll keep talking about this. Thanks for sounding the alarm and telling the truth. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, calling in today from my home. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're just kind of hunkered down and got ready. And earlier in the week, it was looking terrible for here in the Triangle area. And with the changing of the track of Florence, not so bad here anymore, although there is a lot of power outages and tons of rain expected, 4, 6, 8 inches, somewhere in there, and occasional wind gusts. But on the coast, really getting hammered. Really going to be sad in the coming days to see what's going on. And I had heard a couple of deaths earlier, and then I think the Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest said when he called in earlier in the show, I think he said 10. I think he might have said there's 10 already, which is awfully high for this low or for this early in the process. So please continue to pray, and before the show's over today, I'd ask you to pray with me again. Over everything going on. And I appreciated Shannon Joy calling in. She's been relentless on this for, I've been following her on Facebook and listening to some of her show up there in upstate New York. And she's no fan of the people on the Hill. She's not a big fan of Trump. She gives him credit when she can, but she's relentless in going after the facts and seeing what's happening, especially on the fiscal side and on the life side. Then again, they're just continuing, and I noticed this too, you almost never hear anything when you listen to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck and Laura Ingraham. You almost never hear anything about what's going on with our fiscal debt and the climbing national debt and the budget deficit every year. I mean, with 11 months of data from this fiscal year, we know now the deficit is $900 billion, already $233 billion more than the 12 months of fiscal year 2017. And it just continues to climb. And this all right now with a Republican president and Republicans in charge of the House and the Senate, I know it's a razor-thin margin in the Senate, but if they wanted to play tough, they could. They just don't, and they're not. Why? And they're continuing to fund Planned Parenthood. So all that pro-life talk is just that. It's pro-life talk. But where's the pro-life action? How they can live with themselves as they continue to put $500 million a year, half a billion dollars a year, into planned butcherhood is beyond me. And again, when I asked her, well, you know, what's going on? Why are they doing this? Nobody's got a great answer. Other than there's all kinds of things going on behind closed doors. I think once you're up there, many of them, they just, you know, they get drunk on their spending, and that's just the way it is, and it's just the system. And I'm like, does anybody have any moral character up there whatsoever? Because, you know, most of you know, if you listen to the show every Thursday, now this semester I've got 72 students. Two of those classes are a two-semester civics and constitution course, and I show them the national debt clock at the right time, and I show them what's going on in Congress, and I ask them, who's going to pay for this? And unfortunately, I don't have an answer for them in terms of solving it, other than we're going to have to get off the U.S. Titanic and start living on a shrimp boat in terms of what we're willing to put up with this in this country in terms of government spending, tax levels, and everything else. And praise the Lord, I put this story up the other day. We're now the number one producer of oil on the planet. Did you know that? The number one producer of oil on the planet. So there's things we can do productivity-wise, but until this spending insanity gets under control, we're just not going to see it. The federal deficit soars 32% to $895 billion. 32% over the same period the previous year. And that's with a Republican president and Republicans in charge of Congress. Unbelievable. And they're not talking about it. And most of the mainstream media definitely isn't talking about it. They love that spending increase. And most of the big conservative talkers aren't talking about it either. So that should be something else that we're praying about as well. I mentioned Judge Kavanaugh. And when I shared this story the other day, this was just yesterday, and I shared it. This was a breaking news story. Brett Kavanaugh reportedly accused of sexual misconduct. That was Senator Feinstein did that. She's actually had this information for a while and just sent it over to the FBI. And I'll read you the details of that. But people went ballistic on that. I've never seen that many. There were over 1,000 comments on that one post on my Facebook page. That's the Steve Noble Show Facebook page. People just absolutely enraged over it. And again, the same people, this is what you hear when you ask them about our soaring federal budget and deficit. You know what you hear? This is what you hear. Nothing. And we're enraged over the Brett Kavanaugh thing, as we should be, but nobody's saying much about anything with the fiscal side, which is just devastating. It's devastating the future of this country, and it doesn't appear that hardly any of our leaders, including people like Ted Cruz, who you would think would be on it, voted for it. So they're just breaking up this the next round of omnibus spending bills that take us to December 7th, which is Pearl Harbor Day, by the way, appropriately enough, and sneaking it through. And because nobody's willing to fight. They're not willing to fight over the dollars, and they're not willing to fight over life. It's really disgusting and disheartening what's going on up there in D.C. So Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh categorically denies claim about alleged behavior in high school. That was 35 years ago. This is from a Fox News story. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh vigorously denied claims involving an alleged high school incident made in an undisclosed letter and turned over to the FBI by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. I have received information from an individual, this is Feinstein, concerning the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. She said in her surprise statement that individual strongly requested confidentiality, of course, declined to come forward or press the matter further, and I have honored that decision. I have, however, referred the matter to federal investigative authorities. Fox News confirmed that the letter involved an allegation about Kavanaugh while a student at Georgetown Prep in Bethesda, Maryland in the 1980s. A woman who was also in high school at the time accused Kavanaugh, this is all in the letter, no proof here, just in a letter, of holding her down and trying to force himself on her during a party before she got away. The details were first reported Friday by The New Yorker. The woman also claimed Kavanaugh was joined at the time by a friend who turned up the music and details like that. The White House blasted the charge on Thursday as a last-minute gambit. And then here's a story also from I can't figure out which website this is on. Sorry about that. But by Ash Crow, I think she might have been on the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's website. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has declined to investigate Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh over allegations sent to them by Senator Dianne Feinstein. Matt Zapotsky of the Washington Post quoted an FBI official as saying, upon receipt of the information on the night of September 12th, we included it as part of Judge Kavanaugh's background file as per the standard process. He also reported that the agency was not opening a criminal investigation into what Kavanaugh may or may not have done as a high school student. Zapotsky explained the inclusion. He said the FBI backgrounds White House employees and nominees and gives the White House a file on what they found, but the FBI doesn't decide whether the person gets a job or a nomination. The White House does that. Kavanaugh did receive a background check, which was provided to the White House. Then Feinstein gave them this information that she had allegedly received back in July, a couple months ago, but wouldn't share it with even with her fellow Democrats until after all the questions and interviews with Kavanaugh were conducted, and they passed the info along to the White House as well. So all of a sudden, she had that in July, it says, but didn't release it till this week. And then they postponed the Senate Judiciary Committee was supposed to vote on the 13th. They punted that till the 20th. And then they're trying to get it to the Senate floor shortly after that, the last week of September, because they want them to be on the court when the court's next term starts on October 1st. So this is all coming down to the wire. And obviously, a huge Hail Mary. I mean, back to this article, had this been a serious allegation, one would suspect Feinstein wouldn't have sat on it for months and would have brought it up during public or private interviews with Kavanaugh, but she didn't. So maybe she was thinking, it's just so ridiculous, there's nothing there, I'm not going to embarrass myself. Until we get to this point where she sees that most likely Kavanaugh is going to get confirmed. And then she throws it out there, that Hail Mary, that last-ditch effort. And it looks like it's going nowhere. But it is nothing is beneath the liberals. And in many ways, probably nothing is beneath the Republicans up there in Congress these days. And unfortunately, like Shannon Joy, my guest earlier, when she came up with that phrase, the unibrow party, you're seeing that more and more. That there is a concentration of power. You add human depravity to that. And oligarchy is a government run by a small group of very powerful people, and it sure looks like that's where we're going. And the fact, and I mentioned this recently too, the fact that we make such a big deal out of a U.S. Supreme Court nomination, why do we do that? Because the United States Supreme Court can impact this country for decades and decades to come. Should the United States Supreme Court, should four or five people in black robes have that kind of power in our form of government? Absolutely, they should not. I often mention this in the class that I teach, Foundations of Freedom, that I think we should impeach a federal judge at any level once every 20 years just to remind everybody that we can't. And it's just remarkable. It's so disheartening. It's so maddening and just makes you lose hope in Washington, D.C., as they continue to push further and further down this road. Are there some good things happening here and there? Yeah. But in terms of the overall federal budget and our deficit and our overall federal debt, could you say that's like polishing brass on a sinking ship? And on many fronts, that you can say that. So it's just really disheartening, and it's just a reminder for all of us to pray for those in authority over us, because, boy, do they need it. Our country needs it. And our children and grandchildren definitely need us to be fighting this battle as much as we can in prayer. So let's finish that way as we only have about a minute left. I'll just lead us. We'll pray real quick together and finish up our time together. And then, God willing, I'll be back in the studio on Monday. And hopefully things with Hurricane Florence will calm down. Father God, we come to you with literally with our hats and our hands. We can do very little about all these things that are heavy on our heart. Whether it's Hurricane Florence or whether it's what's going on with our government, we do pray for our government leaders, Lord, for wisdom, for discernment, for sober-mindedness, Lord, with our budget and with all those things, but also with Florence and this hurricane, Lord. We pray for the first responders and especially the people in harm's way, Lord, that you would come to their rescue and help them, and that your name would be glorified and that people would come to faith as a result of these trials and tribulations. And we ask all that in Jesus' name. Okay, if you're in North Carolina, take care of yourselves. Everywhere else, please pray for us in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And God willing, I'll talk to you guys real soon.